Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, I'm Pharrell with Carver High Mafia. We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. PharrellOnTheBench.com, at it again. I hit the biggest game. Just like Philly last year, I hit New England this time. And, you know, outright and the spread. Tons of props. Now it's hoops and hockey time. Get the best picks. PharrellOnTheBench.com. NBA, college rack, NHL, boxing, MMA, all the big fights. Daily fantasy rosters. Sign up today. You're going to love it. Everything's favorite to least in a ranked fashion, email format. It's smooth. You'll dig it. Hide the money from your wife. Everyone loves PharrellOnTheBench.com. Tomorrow, episode 140 of Pharrell on the Bets. That's my sports betting podcast on Westwood One, the home of the NCAA basketball tournament and NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, on radio and Pharrell on the Bets. It's my half-hour sports betting podcast. Subscribe free every day. You'll get it Tuesday through Sunday. I think you're going to love it. And you can follow us on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO, episode 140, tomorrow. Don't forget Carver High's Aisle Seat podcast. A new one tonight, Carver High?
No, it'll be out tomorrow night or Thursday morning.
So a new one later this week, Aisle Seat podcast. Don't forget his bash on February 23rd at the Offside Tavern in Lower Manhattan on 14th Street. That starts at around 8, and then they play Vancouver at 10. Carver High will be doing a special live show for all the Islander fans. They lost tonight in Boston, and Carver High was very upset, so he's not going to do the podcast tonight.
Yeah, and I just sealed another deal that I'm going to be doing, a pregame from the tailgate the night of the Tavares return at the Nassau Coliseum. I'll be doing a 1 hour, maybe hour and a half.
When is that game?
That is Thursday night, February 28th.
So that's the night, the Thursday night you won't be here is the night you're going to the Islander game, because you want to get in on all of the violence.
Well, I have a lot. It's a big night. You know, a lot of the fans, they ask me if I'm going to do anything that night.
Are you going to get in a fight like those Patriot fans today?
No. But I partnered with the guy that does my T-shirts. He does a tailgate thing there. We're having a big bash in the parking lot before the game, and I'm going to do it live on Twitter, the Aisle Seat Podcast Twitter live page. It'll be all there for people who can't get out there and see the Tavares return. We'll be covering it out there in the parking lot before the game.
And that's his first return to New York?
First game back against the Islanders.
What does he play, one game against them?
No, they actually visit the Isles twice in the last, like, month and a half, you know, 6 weeks.
So two games a year.
It changes. They play the Leafs three times every year, but where the two games are rotates each year.
So there's two this year.
They played the game in Toronto in December. They play at the Coliseum February 28th, and then I think like April 2nd or 3rd or something, like the last week of the season they play them again. Too.
At the Barclays?
No, at the Coliseum.
Both games at the Coliseum.
The last Barclays game is February 16th. They're done at the Barclays after that. Every home game after that is at Nassau Coliseum.
Oh, so today's tomorrow's the 6th?
They only have, I think, three or four games left at Barclays. Two this weekend, and then next weekend, the 16th. Saturday night game against Edmonton is the last.
Now, let me get this straight. So next year, will they play at the Barclays?
They have not determined yet the status of next year. They haven't determined yet the status of the playoffs.
But don't they own that Nassau Coliseum anyway, the Barclays?
The NHL is involved here, and as we know, especially when it comes to playoff games, the people will probably show up wherever the game is, and you've got more suites and more money to be made if they play the game at Barclays. This is already starting to rupture the fan base. They're not happy because there has been no announcement on where the playoff games will be this year, if and when they obviously, which they should at this point, make the playoffs.
They're going to make the playoffs. So you're telling me they don't know yet where they're going to play?
They have not announced where the playoff games will be played. Now, as of now, the deal for next year is the same as this year. 21 and 21. That's the deal.
Half the games at Barclays.
That is next year.
So you're telling me that that deal is in the works, or it's already in?
That is already the deal.
That's a done deal.
I'm telling you that I think that deal is going to change. I think they're going to play the entire season next year at Nassau.
Okay, but right now, tentatively, they're splitting it.
Right now, the official word is it's split. The playoffs is the issue with the fans.
And why do you feel that they're going to change their mind on something they've already agreed to?
I believe that the Barclays Center does not want the Islanders there anymore. They don't even want to deal with it.
So you're telling me that they want the Nets, concerts, and boxing only?
Correct.
And UFC events?
Correct.
And no hockey?
They don't want the hockey.
And why do you think that they don't like hockey? Because they don't make any money on it?
It's been a bad marriage since the start. The fans don't like coming there,
really?
And they don't like having them. That simple.
Well, there you go. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, motorcycle, RV, or boat insurance? They have that, too. Just go to geico.com. That's crazy, that story you just told me. Utah State beat Fresno State tonight on the road, 82-81. A final just checked in. New Mexico at the Pit. I mean, this team sucks, but they win at that Pit. 83-70, they beat a 13-9 San Diego State team. A little surprise there. Pitt embarrassingly lost, if you ask me, at Wake, 78-76 in overtime. Kent State beat Miami of Ohio by 3. Bowling Green by 13 over Western Michigan. They were laying 6. Toledo beats Akron easily, 63-52. And then LaSalle, they were 6-14. They win 7-14 now. They beat St. Joe's big, 83-69. A battle in Philly. Kentucky blew out South Carolina in Lexington, 76-48. They're on fire right now. Remember, everybody wrote Kentucky off. They're 19-3. They mean business. Loyola of Chicago is getting good again, 15-9. They beat 17-7 Drake, 86-64 in Chicago. How about Illinois? I had the Illini tonight in the 10 spot against Michigan State. They did it, 79-74. They beat the number 9 Spartans, who are melting right now. They lost to Indiana and Illinois back-to-back, 2 unranked teams. I think they have 3 losses to unranked teams, maybe in a row, or at least I know that they've lost to 3 unranked teams. Duke, 80-55 over BC. I had BC in 26. Cover! Florida State beat Syracuse at the Carrier Dome. Not only that, they spanked that ass, 80-62. I'm surprised at that score, to be honest with you, that Boeheim's Orange did not show up for a big game like that against a ranked team. Michigan beats Rutgers at the Rack, 77-65. The Wolverines are 21-2. Valpo won at Illinois State, 69-53. North Carolina pummels NC State. If you ask me, 113-96, that NC State team, I will never forget that they scored 24 points in a game. I'm never going to forget that from last weekend. Remember? 24 points. How bad do you have to be to only score 24 points in an entire college basketball game and you're playing in the ACC? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. How about St. John's? A huge win tonight at number 10 Marquette, 70-69. They had a huge lead by 10 at half. They got outscored by 9 in the second half, but they won the game by 1. Ball State won at Northern Illinois by 1, 72-71. K-State, a winner. We had Brown on, the senior, 74-67. He had 18, 4, and 5 in the game for K-State. They lead the Big 12. Auburn, 76-62 over Florida at home tonight. Tennessee handles their business. They're 21-1. They beat Missouri 72-60. And then Arkansas by 3 over Vandy in Fayetteville. And then St. Louis beat Dayton by 13. Both of those teams are 15-8. So that was all of the college basketball from tonight. There's 5 ranked games tomorrow night in College Rack. So you think about the NFL now that the season's over, right? And now it gets really interesting. As you know, today, you see the story about Antonio Brown today, and then they're making no big deal out of it. But
no big deal.
No big deal. Nobody even wants to talk about it. But he was involved in a domestic dispute, but he was never arrested. Early on in the day, they were talking about him being involved in this thing in January. He was not arrested. A woman contacted the Hollywood Police Department in Florida in mid-January and made a report alleging misconduct by Brown. Nobody knows what happened. The cops investigated. A rep for the police said he was involved. No arrests were made. Brown's people won't talk about it at all. They're laughing at it all, basically. Not laughing, but they're saying it. None of it's true. He's innocent, blah, blah, blah. Brown claims people are lying. He said, I'm innocent. The man behind the lawsuit claims Brown almost killed his 22-month-old son by throwing furniture off a balcony of his Florida apartment. Remember that one who's been feuding with the Steelers, Brown? He's being sued over an alleged furniture-tossing tirade back in April. So he's been sued for the furniture-tossing. Now he's been, like, accused of some kind of domestic situation, right? And his lawyer said they're all baseless and false, the claims. He said it's the media's fault that they're trying to create distractions like this prior to tarnish his client's name and reputation. And they will not comment further. And the Steelers said they're looking into it. What a nightmare, this guy. Honestly, have you ever seen anything dissipate so quickly as this guy's career in Pittsburgh?
Big time.
I mean, it's just like, you know what it is? He's like an Alka-Seltzer tablet. You throw it in the water and then it dissolves. That's his career, dissolving like an Alka-Seltzer hangover medicine. I mean, is he not like a rock star in Pittsburgh as a receiver? The guy was like an all-pro, a perennial pro bowler, badass, right? And then now look at him. I mean, it is unbelievable how quickly that guy dissolved. And then they constantly tease us with, you know, that it's still feasible that he's going to come back. Does anyone really believe they're going to keep that guy?
No.
Or Bell, this whole BS about they're going to transition tag him and keep him and match any offer. The guy won't play again for him. You know that, right? He'll sit out again.
Not going to happen.
Do you think the guy will ever play football again?
Yes.
Bell.
Yes.
You sure? Because he's a hell of a rapper. I've seen him in concert. His music is just absolutely terrible. It's just fantastically terrible. He's the worst. Is he not one of the worst rappers ever?
But, he's got to be up there.
And then what does he do, jet ski and go to strip clubs? I mean, he's just got a huge career in front of him outside of football. He's going to be an incredible hip-hop artist. He's got a bright future.
Please.
I mean to tell you, this stuff just never ends, does it? The Niners have hired Wes Welker to be a wide receiver coach. Do you think he'll be able to help Garoppolo and his minions win some games? Wes Welker, he was one of Brady's top lieutenants, right? I mean, he was the Edelman of the past, right? He was the man. Is he a good coach?
No idea.
We'll find out next year.
He helped Bill O'Brien. He was on Bill O'Brien's staff this year in Houston.
I mean, they did a fantastic job in the playoffs, the Texans, didn't they? And aren't the Niners favored to win the Super Bowl every year, aren't they? Because they got Jimmy G. They're going to win it all, right? The Niners are the greatest team ever, right? I mean, they're going to just absolutely cruise right to the Super Bowl because of Jimmy G, right? Jimmy G! 855-212-4CBS. Call the show, you femmes. I know you're still awake.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So I was looking. My buddy has a ticket on, listen to this. He's got a prop on a future on Derrick Rose being named the sixth man of the year. And the odds are -155. And then this is, I guess, at... on FanDuel's website, he's at -210 to get that sixth man of the year award. You can actually bet on this stuff for who's going to win the sixth man. And if the bet hits, in terms of, like, I mean, this dude bet a ton of money on this. And if he hits, he's going to make, I think, 20 grand, 20,500. Carver High's like, what kind of bet is that? Mafia knows exactly who I'm talking about. He's looking over at me with those felony eyes. Mafia, you're giving me the look. What's the problem?
How could you bet that much money on Derrick Rose getting that award? I mean, first
of all,
I think
he bet $12,500.
In order to get that award, you have to stay healthy the whole year. What's the odds of Derrick Rose playing the rest of the season without getting hurt, let alone getting the sixth man of the year?
Do you think that he's going to win the sixth man of the year?
No.
Why not?
Because he doesn't stay healthy and he doesn't play great every game. He'll have like two or three games where all of a sudden he scores 20, 25 points to you and then disappear for a week because he has an ankle injury.
Okay, so I want to look at his, just for the sake of it, while I'm sitting here, it's very important. I got to look at his numbers. Do you see his numbers anywhere?
Right now this year, he's got 18.3 points per game, 2.8 rebounds, 4.7 assists.
All right, give me those numbers again.
18.3 points, 4.7 assists, 2.8 rebounds.
Those are pretty good numbers, aren't they?
They're solid, but are you going to judge that he's not going to get hurt at some point this season?
Is he still playing on
Minnesota? Minnesota, yes.
He's still on there? Like, did they not play tonight and he didn't play at all? What was he? Was he not in the game at all? I don't see him on there at all in terms of playing tonight. Well, there you go. Imagine winning 20 grand if the guy gets the sixth man. Who bets on that kind of stuff? Really, like the sixth man. You definitely, you got to have some stones to bet on that kind of stuff. Who's going to win the awards in the NBA? You know what I mean? Crazy. Owen in Massachusetts, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, I appreciate the call. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm just thinking, you know, Danny Ainge, think about his situation. He stayed organic the whole time. He hasn't traded for Butler. He hasn't traded for George. Now he's sitting on all these young guys. What do you think Danny Ainge could do right now? I honestly think he's got to stay organic. He's got to keep Rozier. He's got to realize that the best value is to keep the guys that you have. And you got to figure out a way to deal Kyrie right now and cash in on Kyrie. What do you think?
So you want him? You want him to trade Kyrie Irving?
Yes.
Carver High, do you think they should trade Kyrie Irving and Mafia? What do you think?
I wouldn't have a problem with it, but they're not going to do it.
And Mafia, do you think they'll trade Kyrie Irving?
No, and for everything we hear is that they really can't do anything until the summer because of Kyrie's contract, the way it is, the way their contracts line up, these two guys, they have to wait to the summer. And by then, Kyrie's a free agent, so he can't trade a free agent unless he re-signs in a sign-and-trade. But there's no way that that guy is going to do a sign-and-trade to go to New Orleans.
So Rozier, who you talked about, he's averaging 8.8 and his career 7.5. So he's basically an 8-point-a-guy game. He's 8.8 this year, 7.5 career. I mean, I think people up there, overrate this guy like he's some kind of rock star or something. I'm not buying it. I think he's tradable.
Have you seen the way that they play when Smart and Rozier are playing in the game? I mean, the Celtics, they play as a team. You look at how they played in the playoffs last year. That was Celtics basketball. Everybody gets better. Brown plays better. Tatum plays better. I mean, Kyrie has been on this team, but have they really gotten better?
Well, they had to play Rozier last year in the playoffs every day. And I don't deny Smart's a tough player defensively, and he's gotten a lot better offensively as well. Like tonight he had 17. They won the game. They handled their business. I was watching Hayward tonight. He had 18. And we all know what he's been through with the injury and the broken leg and everything like that. But he's, you know, averaging 10, 15 in the career, 10 this year. And he's, you know, basically, I think he's been averaging around 9 and 10 points, 8.5 in February. Bottom line is, I mean, I guess you have to give him the year off as like an excuse when he was injured that he would never be the same again, or we don't know if he'll ever be the same again. I don't think he's been obviously that good this year. I think he's been okay. I think he's been average at best. He does not look like the same player to me at all, the one that everybody grew to love in, you know, Utah, and the one that Boston coveted. Obviously, his broken leg kind of, I think, ruined his career for a couple years, it would appear to me. Now, he may get stronger. I thought that Paul George got better in time, right? Like when he first tore his Achilles, he wasn't the same player, right? Everybody wondered if he'd ever be the same player again. I think he's better now, actually, right now in OKC. The guy that I see play every night now, I think is better than the guy, frankly, before he got injured and broke his leg at the Olympics tryouts and whatever. I think he's a better player now. So I'm not saying that Hayward won't get better again and get back to who he is, which is like a 15 guy a night. But right now, he obviously doesn't look like the same player. I don't even know. I don't even think they, frankly, could move him. Like, I don't think anyone's stupid to the fact that he's not the same guy. I won't deny that Smart's good, and I won't deny that the team is solid. They seem to play better, if you ask me, when they play, you know, tough teams. Like, so if they're playing a really good team in the East, you know, let's say, you know, they're going up against Milwaukee or Toronto or Philly, I think they play their best ball. And when they played against the Warriors, they look tough. So I think that when they play really good teams, I think that it brings out the best in them. They're obviously really good in their division. And I think they're really good in the conference. And I think what they've been is really bad against average teams. Whenever they play an average team, like tonight, they played this terrible Cleveland team. They're awful this year. They're atrocious. And then, you know, they handled their business. They won the game, but they barely beat them. They play down to bad teams, and then they seem to get up for good teams, which I can't fault them for. I think they are tough when they play really good teams. I think they're, you know, coached well. They are a good team. I think they're going to be dangerous in the playoffs. I put them in that same pack with, frankly, Milwaukee, Toronto, and them. And I do think they're a better playoff team than the Bucks or the Raptors. The Raptors have always folded up shop in the, you know, in May, and that's just all there is to it. And Boston seems to find their way. A lot of people thought at the beginning of this year that they'd be playing the Warriors in the NBA Finals. I don't think that's the worst stretch I've heard in terms of guessing who the Warriors are going to face in the finals. Everybody always wants to say, well, who are the Warriors going to play in the Western Conference Finals? I frankly don't think at some point or another it even matters because they're going to win, right? They're going to win that series too. My problem is not beating the Warriors. It's beating the Warriors four times, you know what I mean, in a series. So, look, I still think the Celtics are a dangerous team, but I don't think they're trading Kyrie Irving at all. In fact, I think they're going to bleed him. They're going to use him until he's, like, got nothing left in the tank. That's what they're going to do with him.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Mike in Pittsburgh on the Fan. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Scotty.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So, this Antonio Brown, this whole deal, he also got busted the speeding, right? So, I don't get it now. I mean, how many is this now? Four or five in the last year that we've had?
Well, you know, I don't care if the guy speeds. I mean, honestly, like, have you ever been nailed speeding?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal, but, you know, it's just one, it's like one more thing that goes with, you know, now we got what reported domestic violence,
right.
We got the chair throwing. It's just one more thing.
I don't think anyone, you know, no one cares. No one cares about him throwing chairs. And I don't, you know, they didn't arrest him on domestic violence, so it's just really a nothing story. I'll tell you this much about him. No one, like, literally in that town, and I'm from there too, so let's get real here. Everyone loved this guy. I mean, they absolutely adored this guy. He was their favorite player. The guy produced at a level unequaled by his peers there. He was the best player on his football team for years and years now. It's that simple. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell, you can say whatever you want about him. He was a great player when he was playing. He missed a lot of big games, and he was injured and had, you know, his own problems. And then I thought his behavior this year was way, way worse than Antonio Brown being disgruntled in the last month. And now all of a sudden, like you or others, not just you, but anyone, like you can bring up all this stuff all you want, speeding, alleged domestic violence, you know, throwing furniture off a balcony. Like, no one gives a rat's ass. What the bottom line is now is that because he's going to leave and they're going to get rid of him, everybody hates him now. That's the reality of it, right?
Everyone got every move under a microscope. Let me ask you this. So now that Rutherford has made the trade, and I know Malkin's out, but he's day-to-day. Do you think Rutherford's done? before the trade deadline, or do you think they're going to bring in somebody else?
That's a really good question. You know, I met him, Mavi and I met him in Vegas when we went to the Penguin Knights game in Sin City, and I made it a point to walk up to him and introduce myself and say hi and tell him I thought he has done a hell of a job in his career, because he really has. I mean, he won a cup in Carolina, and he won two in Pittsburgh. So I think the guy's been a great GM, and listen, I think they've always made really good moves for a franchise, if you ask me, at the deadline. So I thought that move was a really good one with Florida, and let's face facts, Brassard never amounted to a hill of beans with the Penguins, so it is what it is. And I still believe, going back to Brown, I think most fans there loved him, and they were, you know, he was their favorite player. I really think he was the favorite. You know, Big Ben and Brown were the two most popular players in Pittsburgh, hands down, whatever, for the last 7, 8, 10 years, whatever it's been. All I know, I don't even know if he's played there that long. All I know is he was the most popular. Now that he's leaving, everybody hates his guts. So it's so funny to me. It's like any divorce. They're all the same. They're always ugly. Divorces are never pretty. People try to put a nice face on it, like, you know, our marriage ended. We get along great now. You know, well, you didn't, because you wouldn't be getting divorced if you got along, right? So the Steelers and Brown just don't get along anymore. And, you know, I think they're sick and tired of him. And I think it's, you know, time to move on with both of them. All this talk about transition tag with Bell is going to be a nightmare again. A giant headache again is coming right down the pike. One other note, your boy Vince Young got popped again for a Dewey. Dude, what is the deal? This guy, are you kidding me? Do you remember him in that great championship game when Texas won the national championship? Do you remember how great he was? And then do you remember how really just a disaster his pro career was, right? It was terrible. And now, I mean, is it not obvious that since he quit playing football, he just likes to hit the bottle? I mean, obviously, he likes that 40 or something, because he's gotten multiple DUIs. This isn't the first time. He got popped in 2016. He got 18 months probation. He apologized to fans and said he understood the seriousness of it. Apparently not. He got another one this week.
Yeah, it all went kind of down for him fast. I mean, when he came in the league, he did have, what was it, one or two pretty good years at the start with Tennessee, and then just things got bad quickly for him. And like you say, he's been hit with a couple things here. And
he was the rookie of the year when he got drafted, two-time Pro Bowl. And then the last time he played was with the Eagles in 2011. Just another famous athlete getting popped for DUI. I see his mugshot here. He really didn't look that hammered to me, to be honest with you. He looked normal. But he failed the test, apparently, and he's popped. And then what did you think, Carver High, of the Gronkowski parade today? That's really what it was. It was a Gronk party.
Not going to lie to you. I did not see. There's only 30 seconds of video I saw of the entire parade, and it was all those dudes beating the hell out of each other out in the street. There was like a brawl.
That brawl.
That's the only thing I saw from the parade today. I didn't care or watch a second of it.
You just weren't having it.
I did see them all. They were all at the Bruin Islander game, dropping the first puck.
Edelman, I saw Edelman with the spike.
With the spike,
because
Gronk did that a couple years ago when they visited the Bruins. So, other than that, that's all I saw of the duckboat parade coverage.
I saw Gronkowski feeling chicks up at the parade.
I know nothing of that. Is that what he was doing?
There was a video of him just going full on, just doing a little, just bad news. All of it bad. A lot of alcohol.
You know, that's Gronk. I mean, you know.
He was actually giving out Tide Pods to the fans as well, throwing cleaning products out at the fans and drinking booze and wine, chugging it, pouring it all over his body and face.
Like I told you, that dude, he ain't long for the NFL. He ain't going to be around too much.
Grant in Sacramento, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell, how's it going?
Hey, dude.
Before I get started, I just want to say I drive for a living and I only listen to AM Sports Talk, and you are the best, my man. You are the absolute best on the air.
Oh, thanks a lot, dude. I'm glad you dig the show. So you usually only hear morning shows, and then somehow you catch our show late at night. How does that work out?
Well, I work evening, so it's going on 11 o'clock right now. I just clocked off, but I listen to you guys while I'm on the clock.
That's awesome, dude.
Well, being from Sacramento, I'm a long-time suffering Kings fan, and it seems like we finally got something working here. I was just wondering if I could get your opinion on these young Kings, especially De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley. And I was wondering if I could get your opinion on if we should re-sign Willie Cauley-Stein, considering his work ethic and considering he got such a young, talented center that seems like such a workhorse in Bagley.
Well, I think they're a very exciting young team. I know they've rattled off three straight. I know they're, you know, in a very tough division when you're always having to look up at Golden State. That's got to be very frustrating. But overall, I think they're very exciting. I know there's, you know, whatever, 24, 27 games left, something like that. And they've already surpassed last year's numbers, wins. Everything about it is headed in the right direction. I love Buddy Hield. I think for sure they're going to keep Cauley-Stein without a doubt. De'Aaron Fox is a badass, 17.5 a game. The guy gives you 7 dimes a game. He gives you 1.7 steals a game. The guy does it all. Bagley's swatting shots and scoring 13 a game, giving you almost 7 rebounds a game. And then
24 and 12 last night.
Yeah, Stein 13 and 8 and 2 dimes, a steal a game, and almost a block a game. I think Stein clearly is a big part of the picture. I like Justin Jackson on that team. There's a lot of reasons to like him, even with the limited minutes they give some of these guys like Yogi and Harry Giles and these guys, Shumpert scoring around 9 a game. This is a very exciting young team. I love them. They're very fast. They run and gun. They fill it up. They play really well at home at the Golden One. Yeah, I like them a lot, too. In fact, I was talking about them in Vegas when I was there. That, I mean, they're a real fun team to watch and, you know, to watch their games. They're exciting. They're young. They're fresh faces. There's none of that, you know, superstardom, ego, you know, narcissism and super diva type behavior yet from any of them. I haven't seen one of them act the way some of these other guys act, like Butler and some of these guys. What does Kyrie need this month? You know, what is Kyrie's latest demands? And, you know, it's one after the next with these guys with their, you know, their problems and all of their demands. And it is just absolutely makes me want to vomit listening to these guys. But the Kings haven't hit that point yet. They've had no real success.
It's honestly, it's pretty reminiscent of, I'm in my early 20s, so I grew up with that early 2000s best show on court Kings. And the type of camaraderie and just the work ethic that these guys have, it's reminded me a lot of my childhood. So I think that these next 5 years are going to be a good time for Sacramento Kings fans.
Oh, without a doubt. I think right now I think Vlade's done a great job. I think they're on the verge of, you know, possibly something special. I think there's, you know, right now they're one game out of a playoff spot. And if you ask me, they're right there with the Clippers, Jazz, and, you know, maybe not quite on the Spurs level, but I don't think, you know, the Spurs are all that anymore. I think they're, you know, decent at best as a 6. So that 6, 7, and 8, the Kings are fighting for that last spot, and they might very well get it. I mean, they're tough. Some of the young, good hearing from you. Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, named to the Wooden Award late season top 20 watch list, along with this kid, Alexander Walker.
Nobody else should even be on the list.
So it's just Zion.
It should just be him. I mean, why would you put anybody else on the list?
Don't put anyone on the list at all.
Does anybody else in college basketball really matter?
No.
No.
So just give it to him now.
I don't even know. I like the idea the one guy had last week. He shouldn't even play the rest of the year. He should just sit out because it's, you know, that'd be better for him for the NBA.
Well, he's got to go play in the NCAA tournament and have Duke get all the calls and win the national championship, right?
They're going to win the whole thing.
Aaron Judge would welcome Bryce Harper, and literally, did he say he'd give him his position?
Well, he could say all that. Aaron Boone said tonight at an event that he does not see that happening. He says we're not in the mix for Bryce Harper. So this stuff is all just sunshine
our boy,
and rainbows.
Our boy Correa in Houston gets $5 million, and Pham gets $4.1 million. In the arbitration, apparently.
Good for them. They're richer than us.
How about the Dodger fan? This woman, her death ruled a blunt force injury by a foul ball killed her. a Dodger fan, after being struck by a foul ball in August, the coroner has finally determined in February, all these months later, that she had an acute intracranial hemorrhage due to the history of a blunt force trauma, thus a foul ball sculled her and killed her.
Not a good scene.
This is not good at all. Very dangerous. The Marlins signed Curtis Granderson to
one
a minor league deal.
One of Jeter's buddies, right?
That's one of his boys, right?
You seen the new logos yet for the Marlins? I think the hats look sharp.
Oh, really? I haven't seen them, but I am a fan of the Heat's pink unis they wear at home.
Miami Vice uniforms that they rock sometimes.
I think
the Marlins
them.
Has a little bit
Have
of
you ever
that
seen when the Blazers bust out the pink?
A couple teams do it now.
Up in Rip City. All right, episode 140 of Pharrell and the Bets tomorrow morning. Drops at 6:30 East. Subscribe free. Follow on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWO. We'll see you tomorrow night at 10. There's at least 20 good college basketball games, 5 of them ranked tomorrow night. I think 7 NBA games, 2 NHL games. We'll be here for all of it at 10 East. For Carver, I and Mavi, I'm Pharrell. Good night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.